largest crowd we've had in a long time. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 8, 2016, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Bona is absent. Mr. Infilazzari is absent. Ms. Lapode.
Here.
Ms. Malkin.
Here.
Mr. Chicken.
Here.
Mayor Allentown.
Here. Somebody like to approve the move to approve the minutes of February 8th, 8th, and 22nd?
Move to approve the minutes of February 8th.
Second, I sent in some corrections. Were those
They're made if you look in your packet.
Good, thank you. Second.
Please call the roll.
Ms. Lapode.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Aye.
Mr. Chicken.
Aye.
Motion on the 2nd, February 8th.
Okay, so moved.
Second.
Please call the roll.
People absent. Ms. Lapode.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Aye.
Mr. Chicken.
Aye.
Michael, motion on February 22.
So moved.
Second.
Would you please call the roll?
Ms. Lapode.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Aye.
Mr. Chicken.
Aye.
First on our agenda, since young children should never have to sit through an evening like this, we have a presentation by Kelby Warner. Would you like to come up to the podium and give us your presentation? Point out that everybody who is here is a neighbor. We have very few of us tonight, so you're lucky. And some of us went to your school. Okay, so please.
Hello, my name is Kelby Warner. I live at 28 Farm Lane, Roosevelt, New Jersey. thank you. Good evening, and thank you all for your attention and time. I'm a sixth grader at Roosevelt Public School, and I'm doing my service learning project. I'm doing my service learning project on raising money to help stop dog fighting. Dog fighting is a serious problem because many animals suffer from it. The National Dog Fighting Awareness Day is Friday, April 8th, and I would like to host events on Saturday, April 9th. I'd like to host a fun run for pets and pups. It is a 1 mile run, and I will most likely be doing it around like the school and running a few laps around there. I would also like to do an obstacle course, a pet show, and a concession stand with food, water, treats, and I would pay they would pay $6 for the run, and the obstacle course would be an additional $1. The concession stand would be whatever the food or treats would say. The pet show is free, and there would be a package for $11 for two people and an obstacle course, so two people could run the race, and then the obstacle course would be along with it. I will be giving all the money to ASPCA, or American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. In January 2016, ASPCA saved more than 700 animals from an unlicensed facility in North Carolina. I would like to raise more than $250. If I don't, that is all right. Anything can help. I would also like permission to use the FDR Memorial for the pet show. And any questions or comments?
Well, Kobe, I have a couple of questions. Are you going to be going out on the road, or are you going to be staying on the school grounds?
We will be staying on the school grounds.
And have you spoken to the Board of Education?
Not yet. That meeting will be held the
Tuesday the 22nd.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions?
Are the dogs going to run too? Just the people?
Yes, the dogs can run as well.
Kelby, when you go before the Board of Ed, you're obviously going to ask if you can use their land. Is that right?
Yes.
Do you know if are you going to ask them, and I don't know if you've thought about that. Are you going to ask them in terms of whether they're going to cover it in terms of insurance? And it, yeah, okay. I'll see you. I guess that's dad.
Teacher.
Okay. Yes. Have you given any thought, or is it going to be done through the school? If people are participate are going to sign something saying they're not going to sue anyone, which is
yes.
Okay.
I will be working on that.
You're working on that too, but in conjunction with the board, then.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
The memorial is town property, though. So
okay.
We may have to see if we can get a rider from Jeff.
All right. That we will check out. Other people were less likely to get injured standing at the memorial as they are running, but okay, we will check that out.
I'm always surprised.
A resolution to approve use of the memorial area, memorial grounds.
Yes.
So I'd make such a resolution.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Kelby, that was a very nice presentation. Thank you very much. I hope the school board presentation goes as well. And thank you for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We now move on to the less fun stuff. Do we have any public comment on the consent agenda?
Bob Clark, Lake Drive. Would you be able to summarize those resolutions regarding the New Jersey Infrastructure Trusts and the state of New Jersey?
Several of them, and I don't know what that would be about.
Sure. Would you like me to do it, Jill, or would you like
sure.
to? Okay. So we are, let's make sure I have the right bonds here. For the tower or the relining?
It's both of the projects, the water, the complete revamp of the water plant and the emergency work that was done on those pipes that they cleaned out and replaced.
The Fryer project.
And projects are both completed, and
okay.
We're just now going into the spring pool.
Okay. So we're going... We previously completed a couple of projects, the rebuilding of the water plant, as you're aware. We had some work done on the water tower, and in addition, going back, I think, 2.5 or 3 years, we had initially proposed to line some of the pipes. While we were waiting for the financing on that, we basically blew a pipe, the main pipe from the tower down to the water plant. So that had to be repaired on an emergency basis. So what we're basically doing is taking the funds that we have already spent, the bond anticipation notes, et cetera, and combining them into a long-term bond.
Thank you.
Does that adequately answer that?
For me, yes.
Okay.
Could I just, Mary Tullis, could I just ask a question about it? It said various water and sewer utility improvements. Is there anything that Jill talked about before for the sewer that would be covered under this, or this is pretty much existing work?
This is work that was already completed at the water plant and that one line that blew at the time, so we were able to get it as emergency work. And the New Jersey EIT financing is a really low interest rate, part principal forgiveness, so this is a very good deal for the town. There's nothing that has been done at the sewer that was included in here.
Mary, two things, and I should also point this out, and I'm sorry, thank you for reminding me. The deal that we got is the $1.6 million. We will only have to repay $800,000 of the $1.6 million, and we will only pay interest on $400,000. Okay, so we have a low interest rate. So basically what we're doing is we're reborrowing $1.6 million, paying back $800,000, and then paying interest debt. I think it's going now under 2%.
Yeah.
For a quarter of it. Okay. The other is, just for edification purposes, when we do these projects, very often what happens is it's on an emergent or a semi-emergent basis. We issue what's called a bond, a ban, a bond anticipation note. In essence, we go to the bank, we borrow the money, and we keep that note in suspense until interest rates are such that we want to roll them into a long-term note. It's how we work, how most towns work. So we're basically taking those bands, those prior notes, combining them, and then going out on a 20-year term. So it's money we've already spent.
Thanks.
Are there further comments or questions about the consent agenda?
I move the consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Ms. Lapode.
Aye.
Ms. Madden.
Aye.
Mr. Fixon.
Aye.
Now move on to reports of council committees. Mr. Tickton?
Okay. So I met with Helen Malik and with Mr. McGrath, our new zoning officer, and he's working on this abandoned property list. I'm going to check with him tomorrow to see how far they've gotten with it. But hopefully that seems to be moving. He's quite enthusiastic about having effective code enforcement here, so hopefully we will be moving along with that rather quickly and see what kind of results we get and what kind of cooperation we get when people get notified their property is on the list. And the environmental, Jill might want to talk about some of the environmental information that, would you like to discuss it?
Yeah.
Okay,
do you want
ahead.
Me to do
sure,
it now?
Sure, let's do it now.
So there's a lot going on with the Environmental Commission, but I just want to address one thing, which is the trails work. The Environmental Commission had applied for a grant, and they got it. And so they are doing some work on the trails throughout Roosevelt. There were two issues that they wanted to correct. One is that where the trail comes out up near the cemetery, it actually ends right where the graves are. And so they're going to do just a minor rerouting of that trail so that you're not walking across anyone's grave. And you'll be right at the edge of the field, which has just recently been part of the controlled burn, which the field edges are where you see the most wildlife and have the most interesting things to look at, so it's a good place for the trail. The other aspect of the trail, the part of the trail that runs between 571 and Tamara had not been improved for some time, and so there was consideration of rerouting it into the uplands rather than right along the stream so that you wouldn't get your feet wet when you walked the trail. I walked that particular route with Diane Lowry, who is working on this particular grant, and we found we could walk the old route. If you are rerouting a trail, and I'll pass this around, this was the proposed new route and the old route. If you're rerouting a trail that far, it might have required new permits and new permissions and so forth. We think we can keep the trail right to its old existing boundaries, although it will require some of those temporary bridges. They're just wood nailed so that you can walk and not sink into the mud. It will require 100 to 200 feet of those temporary bridges. But then the trail will be fine, and we won't have to reroute it and won't need new permissions, and it'll all work. We were excited that we found actually a loop of the trail, which is near the school. We found an old boards placed along that way, and so that will also be part of the improvement of the trail there, which I think will maybe bring school children down to that area with their teachers and make it more accessible for them to go out into the wetland areas there. as Diane and I talked, and, you know, we walked back and forth, and we pretty much sketched out where everything should go. But as we talked, we thought it would be useful if the Environmental Commission would hold just a public hearing on the trails to allow people to, you know, give their opinion, make some comments about the trails. So that is a recommendation, not for the meeting that's happening this Wednesday, but for the next one. You can advertise it, and maybe people can give some input. It's always good to have stakeholder input when you're going to be doing something. You know, people will see the students out there working. And so, however, I realize that this grant is pretty much, this is the grant. It's already allocated so much for materials, so much for equipment, so much for, you know, the various parts. We can't make a lot of changes to the grant, but if people have great ideas, maybe we can just take them and put them in a parking lot for the next grant. I think it's just useful to get stakeholder input on the whole process. And explain, you know, the relationship of the grant with the students that are going to be working on it and so forth. So I think it was a pretty successful trip, and I'm really excited about this trail because now you could walk the trail all the way from the sewage treatment plant when this is all completed, all the way from there to the cemetery. It'd be a great walk.
Only in Roosevelt are we going to be thrilled about a trail that goes from the sewer plant to the cemetery. Just saying.
And one other thing that we discussed.
It's an important waypoint.
Yes. Which one?
It kind of gives another definition to the meaning of a trailhead.
Yes.
Do we know about how many residents use the trail?
Well, while we were walking it, we found several people walking the trail. And I wanted to just say to them, come here often, but I didn't engage them. And
I'd like to know how many, or I think we should, not advertise, I don't know what the right word is, but we have a lot of new residents lately.
Yeah.
And just, or even people who may not realize that, it, you know, we have this wonderful resource at hand. I don't know if we could put it in the Borough Bulletin or...
Actually, that'll be a very timely article because, you know, now the spring people are going to be getting out more. So,
I think there's
talk
probably
about the
a good
improvements
number of
to the
residents.
Trail and how we're going to make it better and, you know, inviting people to use it.
Yeah.
In the article. Good. Sharon likes that.
I would really like to see art along the trail. That's not part of this grant. But
we'll tell Mr. Stinson that.
Yes. So, Mr. Tickton, you
yes.
have more to your report.
Environmental report.
Deborah? Counselor?
Mayor, as you know, I don't know if anyone else knows, we had the hearing today on the license objection to the special ruling for the alcohol beverage control license. We had the hearing today. Written submissions are due to the administrative law judge in 3 weeks on April 4th, and thereafter, unless he requests an extension, he'll issue a decision within 45 days. While we were at the Office of Administrative Law, I spoke to Mr. Marini, who was one of our witnesses for that, and I have to correct something which he had informed me, because he had been informed, from what I understand, by the municipal court administrator in Millstone, but the information turned out to be incorrect, that our ordinances had been approved by the state so that he could write citations against them, and whoever writes the code enforcement. They haven't been approved yet. They've been submitted. They have not been approved yet by the state, so he cannot write against our code book yet. But it's in the works. I also understand that we are finally getting some movement on the county's proposal regarding the area known as Witch's Hollow, and that there was some misunderstanding about the exact square footage, but it's all been of the trail, for lack of a better term, going through the easement and what we're conveying in fee simple. It's been resolved in terms of the square footage. So we can move forward with the ordinances we have to do to convey to them the easement and the portion that they're going to get in fee simple.
Yeah. And we'll see a copy of that easement before it gets...
Yes.
Okay, great. Councilwoman Malkin.
Well, nothing from finance. I attended the first planning board meeting, which was very, very long and basically dealt for 3 hours with rezoning the gas station property and the fact that when that's done, it has to either conform to the master plan or if it deviates from it, then reasons have to be given on why that's necessary. So there was a three-hour discussion on given the different reasons for the property, for deviating from the master plan and different ideas about the property. And is there anything?
I just want to add that the reason that that discussion came up is because the master plan was never changed from saying that it was intended for public use. And since what the council is proposing now is to, to try to solicit interest in having a commercial use there, that, therefore we'd have to explain why a commercial use would be beneficial.
Although it's useful to point out that it has been zoned as redevelopment and as affordable housing for the past 15 years and nobody had changed
commercial as redevelopment was the underlying zones in commercial and the other part was affordable housing, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And the only other thing I have is a letter from the fire department, which I don't really need to read it. Basically, the fire department has withdrawn from providing the 4th of July organization, they were the ones that have put on the 4th of July picnic the last few years, so they are no longer going to do that. So I've been in touch with Eric Schubiger, who is our recreation director, in finding an alternative to putting the party together. That's it.
Thank you. Ms. Lapone?
Okay.
Dr. Lapone? Yes?
Okay. This is long. I wanted to mention that John Impelizzeri, Stacey Bonner, and I attended the local government seminar. It's for newly elected officials on February 27th over at Brookdale Community College. A lot of good information from there. A number of us attended the Joint Insurance Fund meeting on March 3rd in the evening. And each of us who attended, we earned $250 for the town off of our insurance bill. Yes, that's a good thing.
We got a total of $1,250.
The litter pickup is going to be scheduled for May 1st. So mark that date on your calendar, May 1st. Want to see everybody picking up litter? We want to really clean this place up. Water and sewer. We need to update our credit assessment in order to have the refinancing of those bond anticipation notes by New Jersey Environmental Infrastructure Trust. So George Lang is going to coordinate that with the credit bureaus. We were having a delivery of Delta Flock down at the sewage treatment plant when the truck fell in a hole. And now we need a new electric box the old electric box has to be excavated, a new electric box installed, cement put around it, and some kind of cover that'll support a big truck. Yes, it was a truck that was delivering the Delta Flock, and it wasn't the whole truck, it was a wheel fell in, and then trying to get the wheel out, it wasn't a person that fell in the hole, which is a good thing.
Or a duck, that's what I thought.
No, truck, large truck, heavy truck, because, it was loaded. More info has been going to Manuel Ponte, our water and sewer engineer, and he's coming up with some ideas about how we might manage flow better at the sewage treatment plant. If we can decrease the flow at the plant, we'll need less chemical to treat the water, which will save money. So he and Toby are working together on some of those calculations. While I was at the sewage treatment plant looking at the hole, I noticed that they were doing the hole effluent toxicity test right while I was there. A hole effluent toxicity test is a test where they take water right out of where the effluent is leaving the plant. It's a 24-hour sample, so you have this sampling apparatus that turns on for 5 minutes every hour so that you collect the sample over 24 hours. That water is then put in a tank, and they put little fish in there, and they see how many of them survive after some period of time in the water. And it's a test of their whole effluent toxicity. It's called the wet test. So that was kind of exciting to see that happening. PSE&G, one of the bills that I signed tonight is for PSE&G to install gas service to the lift station, which is located at Lake Drive and Spruce. I know Bob will be very interested to hear that. As part of our NJEIT spring pool financing, we're going to need a special meeting between May 13th and May 20th to approve something which will come from NJEIT. So I'm going to suggest that the meeting be held May 16th, which is the Monday.
I did get a couple of responses to my email. Councilmember Malcolm would not be able to attend, I believe.
No.
And Councilmember Tickton said he would, but I have not heard from Councilmembers Impelizzeri or Bona yet.
Okay.
Or the mayor.
I assume that this is going to be a very restricted special purpose meeting for those three ordinances.
The agenda will only carry that item.
Okay. So we can probably do that quickly. Okay. Just trying to check whose anniversary.
I will not be here, but Kelly will run that meeting.
Yeah, the timing is also critical. My daughter is expecting May 2nd. Who knows, first baby, what happens. And so I'm really hoping that I can be here, but if it's 8 days after, then I'll be out there.
Well, you can do it remotely.
I can do the Brits remotely, or I can do this.
You can clearly attend. You can clearly attend the meeting remotely, and based on our prior discussions, I think you'd rather do the Brits remotely.
Yes, but
I think it'll work out very well for you in all counts.
Okay, I'm still not done. that was just an aside. So we have received a draft of the stormwater permit Tier B. And in reading the stormwater permit, we're a Tier B municipality, which is a fairly small municipality. We have to get a certain number of points to apply for our extension of the stormwater permit. One of the things which qualifies is when you have a watershed ambassador conduct training. We can get 3 points for that. And if we actually go out and do monitoring, we can get 4 points for that because it relates exactly to our stormwater.
4 points for the monitoring?
Yeah.
Every time you do it? Or?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Not every time you monitor, but every time you do the training.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just wanted to thank you for having this training because it's going to help us out on our stormwater permit.
And can you sign up for the next one and the next one and the next one?
Walking around town, I did notice that our salt storage is improper, and that will be addressed quickly. We had bought salt just because of the winter approaching, and there's no tarp underneath. We really can't have salt directly in contact with the ground right near a stream.
Yes, so residents had called about that.
I'm glad they noticed it. Yes, so that will be corrected. And next year, when we have salt delivered, we are allowed to put salt on a tarp as long as as long as it's not in contact with the ground with a tarp over it, temporarily from October until April. But then it has to be completely cleared up, and it has to, well, because you don't want salt to wind up in your streams. So that's going to be fixed. And now I'm done.
Thank you. Old business. Somebody put firefighter equipment storage in trailer. Do we know who put that on?
Yes, that's regarding the pricing.
Ah, yes, okay.
Shelves.
Okay, so we got basically we have one bid at 2,600 and something. It was under the bid threshold. And then we have another one, which I have not seen, which came from the fire department, which was $3,000 but could be used after. Do we have pictures of this anywhere?
We have pictures of this one.
We do have
the wall partition and this one.
The $3,500 one from the fire department is for mobile racks.
Right.
So you'd be able to use them, move them out. And then the other one is the 1347, and then the other one is 2350. I forgot to write it on the sheet.
So what I would like to do is move this back under new business so we can get through some other things, and then I'd like to hear from, because I have no idea what the fire department's proposed, what those units look like or what the advantage is. So clearly it's not the low bid, but it's also a different product, so I'd like us to have a chance to talk about it. So moving on to new business, I see an affordability assessment.
Yes, that's me again.
Yes, I guess so.
Glenn Barnes with the University of North Carolina came out and spent about half a day, well, a little more than half a day, about 5 hours with us discussing Roosevelt's needs in terms of the water and sewer. And he conducted what's called an assessment of affordability of residential rates. And what he did was he looked at, compared Roosevelt's census data to our current water and sewer bills. And then he provided that assessment, which he shows that for people who are at the low income level between, well, lower than $25,000 per year, they're spending a lot of their money on water and sewer bills. The current rate in some of these lower income groups are 7% of their income on water and sewer, 12%, 18% of their income. Now, some of this is mitigated, although the census covers everybody that lives in Roosevelt. There are individuals that live at the Solar Village who are subsidized. Their housing is subsidized, and their water and sewer bill is essentially paid for them. Mm-hmm. So to the extent that they are, that group is among those with those low incomes, at least it is not, incredibly unaffordable. But when you do this, you don't have that kind of detail. You can't match this person matches this census point matches this. So we don't have that. We have this general assessment for people that are making the median income in Roosevelt. It's about 2.5% of their income is going to water and sewer bills, which is high. I mean, our bills are very high, but is not outrageous. The 18% was really out of the realm. So we certainly hope that that's people who are being taken care of at the Solar Village.
Do you know what the average residents, not in Roosevelt, I mean in the country, what percentage of their monthly, of their yearly salary goes to? I mean, two is low, but it's probably higher than.
It is. Yes, he was saying, you know, 1% was, yeah.
So we can double the
price. Yeah, yeah. He also, he had lots of nice charts and graphs, and so one of the things we can do is post this or make this available on the website, because I think it is a really good analysis. He also looked at things like the percent unemployment in the civilian labor force, people not in the labor force. One of the things he showed was that we have, at least in 2014, in Roosevelt, 36.6% are not in the labor force.
Is that a euphemism for old people?
Well, not necessarily. Those with Social Security income are 33%. So, very few people on food stamp benefits, 1.5%. Very few people on cash public assistance income, 1.9%. But these high utility bills. One of the things that he showed us is that this tool is available should we decide we would like to explore the possible sale of some of our assets, that we could put into this tool the projected rates that they would charge. And we would be able to look at how that affected the distribution. So now that he has organized all of these numbers for us, we can update it as there's new census data. We can update it if we have some new rates. We can update it if we decide we would like to change the rate structure. But the initial work was putting all of it together, and that's done.
So we have three dates for the use of the Borough Hall. Should we make a motion for all three of them at once?
We'll move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay. Okay. Fire company election. In our last discussion of the officers of the fire department as opposed to the fire company, we asked the fire company to come back to have another election to clarify, clean up, and finally determine who will be the chief of the fire department. Did such a vote take place?
Yes.
And what were the results, please?
As of the vote, we have, for the fire company positions, president is John Lenart, vice president is Justin Lenart, and treasurer secretary is April Sook. And our recommendation
could
to
you
the council.
Slow down a little bit.
Sorry.
That's right.
Do you want me to go by the mic?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, please.
That might be better. So we held another entire election. It's an act. Another election in its entirety, because our bylaws do not allow president and chief to be one and the same. So on the executive side for the fire company, John Lenart was elected the president, Justin Lenart was elected the vice president, and myself, April Sook, was elected as both the treasurer and the secretary. And on the fire department side, again, as it is only a recommendation to council, our recommendation and the vote was that Chris Sook be elected as chief of the department, and we do not recommend an assistant chief at this time.
Do I have a motion to approve Mr. Sook as chief of the fire department? Do we have a second?
Second.
Let's do a roll call.
Ms. Malkin.
Thank
you.
Yes.
Ms. Malkin.
Yes.
Mr. Tipton.
Yes.
Congratulations, Mr. Sook, or condolence, one of the other.
You take that one.
No, that's
you don't have.
We don't have the company, just the department. Okay.
May I just ask one question for the record? Do we know at this point how many people are members of the fire company?
Yeah, we had two resign, right? So how
yeah,
many?
We received
two letters of resignation.
Who
so
resigned?
Dan Archer resigned and Stuart Fonts resigned.
So as for the other members, we've heard grumblings, but we have nothing in writing from them. So
that means we have how many? 12?
About that. We have seven. Well, we have. It's active firefighters or members in its entirety, because we have two members that are not active firefighters because they haven't gone through the academy.
Active
so
firefighters.
Seven. Eight. We had 14. We lost two, so there's 12.
12, yes.
And then 16 members in total.
Okay, thank you.
Bios. So somewhere in the long distant past, the town signed up for telephone service, and they signed up for Comcast service. When they signed up for telephone service, they signed a contract that said, we'll use Verizon, and anything that's long distance, we'll use AT&T. Long distance defined Princeton, Trenton, Upper Freehold. So we've been paying upwards of, actually above $1,200 a month for telephone service and whatever we're paying for Comcast. Don't remember off the top of my head.
It's in the bills list. I can look it up. Mm. Go ahead.
So we had a I had a meeting with Fios. Actually, Kelly and I had a meeting with Fios. And they have come back and said for $493 per month, we will give you television, internet, and telephone at the Borough Hall. We will give you service of internet and telephone at the water plant and at the sewer plant. So that's $1,200 all in, gets rid of more than, what I think, about two-thirds of what we're paying now for telephone and whatever we're paying for Comcast.
$245.85
for this?
For a month.
For this location and the other location. Okay. So, so that's up to $1,500 to $1,600 a month that we're paying, which would go down to $493. The other thing, the other reason I suggested talking to Fios is that I don't know how many of you know, but in the last two storms, Comcast went out within 30 seconds of the storm starting. Fios never went out. We had it at our house. We had it at my folks' house. If you had power, you had Fios. So we have a little more faith in them. One thing I do have to find out, though, is whether what our penalty is for leaving Comcast. And we need to look at that. However, they will pay us, Fios will pay us $500 per location, meaning water plant, sewer plant, and the Borough Hall, to terminate, to pay our termination fees with Comcast, if any. And it will give us another $1,600 in debit cards to use as we wish. So we would arguably use those debit cards for things like gas, supplies, whatever, and then take that money in cash and use it to pay whatever penalty we might have from Comcast.
Okay. Comcast is obligated, as I recall, by terms of the ordinance to provide certain services. I guess the charge you mentioned is for over and above that.
They're not using Comcast for phone. They're only using it for internet. Right?
Well, I don't know what they're using it for, but I know by terms of the ordinance that they have to provide certain services. I don't think it's phone. I think it's I don't remember what it is.
And they might be providing it through the school, probably through their
by the ordinance they
franchise
have to apply.
Agreement. Isn't it in their franchise agreement?
Correct. Yeah. So you know, whatever that is, you don't want to give that up because they got to do it. You're not paying anything.
Right.
Well, yeah, but the overall cost of providing those services still comes out to $1,500 a month.
Okay.
Right? So, and they're not providing it very well. Or as Ms. Tyers will tell you yesterday, was it yesterday, that the internet went out and she called and they said, oh, yeah, don't you know every week you're supposed to unplug the system and plug it back in? Probably. I've got Fios at my home and in my office going for a year. So, all right, so we can talk about it further.
Okay.
And at 500, the question is, do we need council approval?
Well, you would. Yeah, I mean, you would need to have council approval, yeah.
Okay. So can I get a motion to approve the standard form contract with Fios, assuming that we get past these issues with
so moved.
Comcast?
Yeah. I mean, the only issue, I think, would be, you know, you don't want to give up the free stuff unless there's a good reason for giving up.
Well, there's no, if they're going to keep providing us with the free stuff, understanding the fact, and you know what, two modems in here and two sources, everything I do for a living requires at least three sources of internet. So, I mean, all of our contracts say we'll store your servers, but you have to have four and blah, blah, blah. So there's nothing that prevents us from having two sources.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually bridge them and get twice as much speed, which is kind of neat.
You say so, I don't know anything about this.
Okay.
I'll take your word.
Then I can speak with complete authority.
Yes.
Okay. So there was a motion, second?
Second.
Same all in favor?
Yes.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry, was there a question? All right, going back to firefighter equipment storage in trailer. So we have two proposals to build in racks. What we're talking about here, folks, is that in those, the purpose behind that trailer is twofold. Purpose number one is obviously for the firefighting equipment, the moldy outfits, the gear, et cetera, to be able to be stored in there next to the fire department. And the other portion of that building is to be used for file storage and sorting. So in order to store the equipment that the firefighters need, they need some kind of rack. They need some place to put the helmet, the gear, the oxygen masks and tanks, and the Nomex, and the boots so that they can walk in, grab them, and run. We have gone out for proposals to two carpenters, all of which are under, both of which have came in under the bid limit. I think they're both under
the quote threshold.
The quote threshold. Mm-hmm. One is obviously cheaper than the other. The fire department had suggested another option, which is a little more expensive. I think it's $3,500,
mm-hmm.
give or take. Okay. $3,500, and what I was asking is, what's the difference? And what I'm seeing, and I'll hand this out to you, what I'm seeing is that these are roller racks. So if we build in, having looked at them, I would think that they are probably the better choice. We still have to get a wall between those two sections, but if we built in the cabinets that have been proposed, when that trailer goes away, those cabinets are somewhat useless. This is showing racks on wheels, which means that we could move it into whatever facility. I assume that's the purpose. Okay. So let me give this.
I mean, get up.
I got another one if you want to pass it around. Thank you, John. Any thoughts from the council?
I think it would make more sense, since we're not intending to keep these temporary facilities permanently, because the temporary facilities, it would simply make more sense if these racks could in fact be moved to a, you know, to whatever, to a rehabilitated or new facility, whatever we're going to have. It would seem more cost effective in the long run to spend a little more now and then have something that we can use later, rather than have to give up after a fairly short period of time.
This looks like we can hang sides of beef in.
Can I ask
how the
equipment is stored now?
Sure, there are milk crates bolted to the wall, and the helmet goes on top of the milk crate. The tank goes in the milk crate. And the, I mean, this backwards.
The gloves and the mask go in the milk crate, and then the gear hangs on the nail in the wall.
And then the boots go below it.
On top of another milk crate.
On top of another milk crate. I've miscounted the milk crate. I'm sorry.
And that quote is for four separate racks. Each rack holds four sets of gear. So if you need it to be under a certain threshold, we could always order three instead of four. If that makes sense.
The question was, which one makes more sense for starters? You have 12 active firefighters. You have four in the tube, as it were, right? Clark already in training or about to be in training. So within, what, 2 months we're going to have 16? So getting 12 doesn't seem to make much sense. If this makes more sense, it would seem to me that if we have to go out to bid, we go out to bid. Because we're, I think our threshold is 2675 and these are 3500.
Which would mean you'd need a couple more quotes. But
yeah. So I've heard Michael's thoughts, Peggy.
It's, you know, I don't know. It makes sense to buy them, and we have really no idea what's going to happen as far as a rehab building or a new building or when that will actually happen. So they obviously, it's a bad situation now with the mold. So it makes sense to buy these, you know, to get these.
Yeah, I think these have a lot more utility. We can move them from the temporary storage and use them wherever our permanent solution is.
I wonder if we could put files in the damn things. Okay, so would you be so kind as to find out if there are other companies that build this or similar, okay, and we can go out and get the appropriate bids? Okay, thank you.
You need two more?
Two more would be optimal, yeah.
Oh, bids, yes. I'm sorry. I thought you meant racks.
These were bids or quotes?
Quotes.
I misspoke. Okay, that ends the private portion of our programming this evening. I'm sorry, one. Oh, yes. Okay, I'm sorry. There is one more item. As you know, there is a pit in front of the last bay in the firehouse, which is where the main fire truck is parked. We had KTK come out, fill in that hole, pound it down with gravel in order, and it's sinking again. So in order to make it a flat surface, they would have to dig down substantially, fill it back up, pat it down, and then put, I think, 6 inches of asphalt over it. The cost that was given to us was $2,800. Can we get them down to $2,675? Okay, so assuming we can get them down to $2,675, the idea was to wait until we had decided what we were doing about emergency services, because obviously most of the, if not all of the proposals, would include picking up some or all of that parking lot, whether for the drain pipes or just resurfacing, just as we have to do in the front. So we're kind of hoping to put that off, but at this point, it is something of a danger, both a tripping danger and a danger for the truck getting out. So if somebody would like to make a motion to approve the repair of that, it's what, about 3 feet by 10 feet? Section?
About
3 by 10 feet. I would appreciate it.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We can proceed with that work. So we can call KTK tomorrow. Okay. Thank you. So we talk out into the public like there's ether there. Okay. So that ends unless somebody else has some new business.
No, I'd just like to say Mary has a really good shirt for tonight.
Only get to wear it once a year.
I know. Right.
We open up for public comment. Does anybody have any comments? Ms. Sean?
I just have a question.
Would you? Yes. Sorry.
Judge Sean, 18 Tomorrow Drive. Is there any news about what's going on with the deli? And also, I don't really understand liquor licenses. What's going on with the liquor license, and how does that work?
Well, give it a quick shot, and then you can. That's what Rich was talking about.
I'm sorry. Go
ahead. Yeah. So basically, we award a liquor license to the highest bidder, which in this case was Gade, and that was back in 2012.
Wow.
Yeah, we just went through this in the hearing this morning. No, it's fine. That's the only reason I know it was 2012, because I was sitting in the hearing. The license then gets renewed at this point annually. And we have, I think for the past year and a half, challenged the renewal in an effort to get something done at that deli. In other words, if we're not going to do it, then let's give it to somebody else. There was a hearing this morning. It was one of a series of hearings in front of an administrative law judge. The judge is not going to make a decision for at least another, 45 days plus 3 weeks. So for quite a while, he would like us to reach some kind of accord with the Gades. If the judge were to rule entirely in our favor, the liquor license would come back to the town, and we could then resell it to somebody who would do something with it. If the judge ruled against us, it would stay with the Gades. And I'm saying the Gades, but it's Siriana Realty and several other companies. Basically, our main concern is we want the deli open. And they have indicated, certainly in today's hearing, although they have done so in the past, that they are intending to open it shortly. So that's that's all we know. We can't force them to.
Would the same person who made a presentation at a council meeting previously?
If you mean the individual from last July, no.
He was going to lease it from the owners.
Yes. That agreement, that relationship was terminated.
So we don't.
They have represented they're going to open it in the near term, but that's been
years.
4 years.
Longer, I think, actually.
We don't have a definition of near term.
Well, near term is my word, but they keep saying soon, so I gave it as near term.
Soon, we don't have a definition of soon.
Just a St. Cox off 50 Pine Drive. Can I ask a follow-up to that? Because I don't understand. So if they do open the deli, in fact, will you rescind your, contesting the renewal of the license?
I don't think we decided that yet, but I don't think there's any desire to pull the liquor license if they actually open the thing.
Okay. It's just that he said he's opening soon for 4 or 5 years now.
And one of the effects of going through this process is saying fairly loudly, I think, okay, you told us you were going to open it. We gave you a liquor license to open it. Now open it. Okay. But that's the pretty much the limit of what we can do at this point.
So I have one more question, but I don't know.
Sure.
You have a question about...
You're up here, please.
All right. So, I wanted to just address the council and public to find out when they plan to respond to my letter. And I came to the December meeting as well, addressing misconduct, from our family perceived misconduct by members of the fire department and misuse of vehicle operation. And it was a perception of harassment on our part. We, to date, have received nothing. You did write in an email that you got my last inquiry, but we have received no written response other than a passing acknowledgement of emails. Specifically, I just want to clarify what it is we're looking for, because I have received informally acknowledgement of, and sympathy about this by members of the government. So on an informal basis, it seems to be acknowledged that there was wrongdoing. But we're asking for an official statement that there was an investigation of whether it was determined that there was indeed misconduct in terms of how a vehicle should be used under those circumstances. The other thing that we're asking for is that you review, well, first of all, that you provide us with written assurance that nobody in leadership positions was involved in the incident. Nobody in leadership positions, either in the government or in which I doubt, in the fire department or the fire company. I know that this
council was very scrupulous about, and mayor, about appointing or approving an appointment of fire chief based on ethical considerations. So I hope that you do the same for this consideration, since it seems to me more egregious than sending out an email to people about, you know, quit the fire department. This is an actual action against individuals. And the other thing that we would ask you to do is to review the standard operating procedures. So when I say we, I mean Dana Hoffman and me, my husband, that you review the standing operating procedures for the fire company, which are posted on their website, but I did review them. I admit I'm no expert on it, but I did some comparison to other fire companies. Nearby fire companies are also volunteer fire companies. And in those SOPs, there is more, in other SOPs, there is more detail about the operation of vehicles that will basically provide a template for what actions can and cannot be taken. And lastly, also, so I would be happy to provide you with samples of that if you should need them. But we are asking for some written, and also what kind of actions you're taking in terms of if there was indeed misconduct against those individuals. So that it seems to me that if it's just talking to somebody, there's very little deterrence. At least it doesn't work that way with my kids. I can tell you that. There's very little deterrence to think that anything would happen should it be repeated, right? So, okay. Can you at least tonight give us a sense of when you will write?
I can certainly put this in writing.
Okay.
The fire department has been, both its leadership and its members, have been told in private and in public with you here, that they are not to take actions of the type of which you accuse them. They have agreed that they will not. There is no purpose to be served by conducting investigations. No law was broken. And I will put this in writing if you'd like. No laws were broken. I can assure you that there are demands for action not only from those people who were opposed to the bond, but those people who were in favor of the bond. I don't wish to get into that. I mean, the election was back in December. I'm not in favor of supporting that, and I will be glad to put that in writing.
Okay, if I can just clarify, this is not about prolonging a political fight. It's about ensuring that beyond someone's spoken word that there are certain safeguards in place, since council and mayor are overseers of the fire company. So it's not just a matter of prolonging a fight. It's a matter of having safeguards in place, and you can do that. You can do that quite easily by ensuring that you have standard operating procedures that will make it much harder for something like this to recur.
I agree that we ought to take a look at the SOPs. I believe the originals were prepared by the fire department.
Yes.
Says they were delivered, and we can certainly compare them to others. And if there are areas that need to be strengthened, I agree with you, they should be strengthened. Okay. So I'll ask, since you did offer to send other SOPs, if you have some, that would be great.
Thank you.
I just want to add that I checked with the fire department, and they do maintain the records of anybody who, you know, participates in any drill or any response to an event, so that they listen to their own interest. They have to, because if the people would need this if they want to get exempt fireman credit, or if we were to participate in the LOSAP program, which is a program giving benefits to people who participate above a certain level, we would have to know who they are. And we do get letters saying that certain areas you haven't met the requirements of attendance. So, you know, we have records of the fire department maintains the records of who is going out with these things. So, you know, this is something that's not, people are not just taking the
okay, so
thank you, Michael.
Just yes. To follow,
is that not the discussion we had?
What?
No. Okay.
No, I mean, just to follow up with that, then you do have records of who operated, who was in that vehicle that night. And
no,
I
we do not.
I didn't say that. We okay. The council does not have the records, no.
Nor
again,
would they have,
you
nor
are,
would they have a
I
record.
I just want to remind you that
unless it went out, unless it went out on a call.
Right.
Okay. So, and can I just say that that is one of those examples where you could be do your due diligence as overseers and have a log for any use, because you have to remember the, you know, we know this kind of equipment, it
Agreed.
Needs to be keeping track of. So to just say it's only when there are calls kind of, you know, skirts past the issue at hand.
Agreed.
Yes.
Thank you. Is anybody else in the public?
Mary Tullis, 21 Lake Drive. I just have a few things. First of all, I want to start out with the Environmental Commission. You have approved the use of the Borough Hall on April 9th for us, and we are having a pretty big weekend that weekend, April 9th. Two of our committees are going to be very active. We have prepared a flyer. It's calling all Roosevelt citizen scientists, and this flyer is going to be put in the Borough Bulletin and put on Facebook pages and things like that. But the invasive strike force is going to be meeting. I don't know, Sharon, if you want to say a few words about what's happening with that. They will be meeting to attack autumn olive and remove it from an area near Lake Drive. And we're going to be having also the stream committee will be having a training here by the our watershed ambassador and a couple of her colleagues. There's a rain date of the 16th if you know we're not able to do what we're hoping
I think
to accomplish.
The stream is
dry. Yeah, sort of strange to have a rain date, but anyway, we do. And we're going to have lunch here for our volunteers. Hopefully we can purchase a lunch, so at our meeting this Wednesday, we would like to probably pass a resolution to ask for an approval of some amount of money to pay for lunch for. So you would expect to see something like that. Sounds like it's a busy day. I think Kelby's activity is the 9th also. So, anything else about that?
I have a couple things on
mentioned
separately.
Okay. One place that we hoped to put our flyer, the borough has a Facebook page, Borough of Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
How would we, can we make approval? Could
if you give it to me, we'll put it up.
Okay. So I'll email it to you.
You can also put it on the website.
Okay. That'd be great. All right. Then also, I just, here on another topic, at the cemetery, I think maybe because it was very warm in part of the time when hunters were up there, the area of lawn, kind of as the road makes its big circle, it looks pretty terrible. It's been kind of all kind of tire tracks and things like that. I don't know if they still have, back in the old days, they had that big drum you kind of rolled across to even out the lawn. Whoever, you know, will be taking care of the cemetery property, I think they should do a little investigation of trying to fix that area because it doesn't look very good.
Are you
good.
Talking about the circle drive?
Yes, the circle drive. As you come in, you're passing the field on the right. On the left is the area that I'm talking about. It's right in the center.
Is that where we had the backhoes, Kelly?
Yeah, that's starting right at that point, but where the teardrop she's talking like.
She's talking further out.
There's been hunters up there, and they have taken out where when you go in, like it, you know, it comes like a teardrop. At
yes.
the end, it's they've torn up the grass and put ruts in.
Okay. Yep.
There's another area further along that I think a bus at one time, a tour bus,
right.
actually came into the cemetery property, and a little bit further along made some ruts that should also be taken care of, I think.
We had a... during the last big snowstorm, we had an emergency funeral, and the only way we could get them up there was to take backhoes up and basically carry the snow out.
Ooh.
So I would expect that there would be deep grooves from that.
Okay.
But
it was even before that, I think, that
oh,
these
that?
Hunt
okay.
yeah, that the grooves were there from the hunters.
But we're going out for a bit soon on the whole maintenance of our
lawn
care, so we can include something that they have to repair that area as well.
There've also been a lot of kids on ATVs again the last couple of weeks since the weather warmed up a little.
Up in that area?
We know what we're supposed to do when we encounter them in the street, but I know they've been, I've seen them coming down from the cemetery and up and down.
Maybe some, do we already have an ordinance that forbids their being ridden there?
We do.
Can we?
I believe we do.
We do, but I don't know when you see them in the street.
Right.
Call 911, I mean, it'll be gone. But they have been out a lot lately.
Wish we could stop that. Let's see, I thought I heard that you did this, Jill, but you recommended to the people doing the, responsible for the cleanup, you pointed out to them that money could be given to nonprofits in town. Thank you so much, because the Education Foundation and RAP and the PTA are all going to get a $500 for bringing volunteers for the town cleanup, which is great. So thank you very much. I don't know if we just didn't notice that before and you found it, but
I was the keynote speaker at the Clean Communities training for all of the Clean Communities coordinators, and I stayed after my little talk, and I learned stuff that I never knew about Clean Communities, and the $500 thing was part of that. I think it's a great opportunity. We have trouble spending our Clean Communities money.
You can also use it to give them the supplies to do it. The gloves, the bags.
They've always
used
we always have that,
okay. But we've never gotten a donation. So thank you very much.
You just have to give a list of the number of people that participated.
Just the last thing is, like last Friday when I noticed on Lake Drive in the morning, it was covered with a fine white powder, and had no idea where this came from. And when I was taking a walk, it was on, I think it was on Farm Lane. It wasn't on Homestead. Well, but there was no weather happening that day. So I came over to the Borough Hall to ask if they knew what it was, but that was the day the Borough Hall was closed. Because whatever it was, I thought this is all going to wash down into the storm drains.
We can tell you what it is.
Okay.
The last time we had snow and rain, it all looked as if it had dried up. And I don't know if you were here when one of our residents came in and said that he had had an accident from sliding on the ice at the end of Pine Drive.
Oh.
Another resident had tried to stop at the end of Pine Drive and continued across 571 and down into Homestead. So we had what turned out to be about an inch of snow. We were concerned that exactly the same thing would happen, so we brought in a crew to lay salt. It's not salt crystals, it's basically salt spray because there's a lot less impact on the environment. It seems to work a little better. So they came through. Unfortunately, well, fortunately, we didn't get all the snow that we expected. The other thing is that when the snow actually, it would seem that the intelligent thing to do is to wait for the snow and then put down the salt.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, due to physics, that doesn't work. So you have to anticipate the snow and put down the salt. So we had like a quarter inch. We put it down. We got another 3/4 inch, and it melted by the next night. So we had the salt, but we had no snow.
Oh, okay, because I didn't think Friday was snow day, but maybe I'm not remembering it. Okay,
probably
that explains it.
Probably also be left over from that initial.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Anybody else? Ms. Sean?
Just to add something about the, if you're about to do the contract for the lawn care and all that, every year there is a problem in front of in the curve by the Mueller's house that the weeds become so tall that the visibility is really impaired and it's very dangerous there. And my husband usually finds somebody who's taking care of the lawns and asks them to cut it down, but it's never done properly, and it's always, it's an issue every year. So if you can actually identify that in the arrangement you make, it would...
You're talking about where Homestead curves around to the left?
Yeah.
By the triangle.
The triangle on the way to the factory.
Yeah, know exactly what you mean. Put that on the checklist.
But the weeds are not on the triangle side, right, Jeff?
Right, it's on the Mueller.
They're on the Mueller side.
Yes, I believe the mayor had her hand up.
Oh, I apologize.
Eitan, go. I just You just popped up.
She outranks me.
No, she's X. You're current.
Two things. One is just an update on the status of the contract with the New Jersey Audubon Society for the development of a forest management plan. Per the resolution of the council and then followed by the signature of the mayor, the contract was sent to NJA. Before they countersign it, they were going to come out to do a site visit just to confirm that our woodlands are appropriate for the federal program that would provide funding for implementation. And that was to have happened last week, but then the forester assigned to this project left New Jersey Audubon, so a different forester has been assigned but was not available to come out, and because of conflicting schedules, that visit most likely will not take place until sometime around the middle of April or so. We don't expect this is going to have any effect on the overall timetable for the project, but it means that there's going to be a little bit of a delay at the beginning with the execution of the contract. So I'll just keep you up to date on that. Second thing is I have a question for clarification, and if this is something that's not really necessary to discuss at a council meeting, just tell me who to go talk to. But as you're aware, there's a budget that's been assigned to the Environmental Commission. It's roughly about $3,500, and there's about $150 worth of specific line items for things like postage or advertising for public notices, and the rest is miscellaneous. I'm not entirely clear what purchases we need to bring to the council for approval. For example, Mary mentioned refreshments for a meeting. I don't know if there's a threshold or if there's a category where we should get approval for those purchases since the Environmental
Generally,
Commission.
Generally, if it's over $2,600, you need approval. If it is in your budget, generally what we do is we take proposed purchases. First of all, the purchases should be made through the borough. So you can call Anna and say, this is what we need, and she can prepare all the documentation. And then you go to the council person who is responsible for the Environmental Commission.
Okay.
And just say, we're making these expenditures so they see them.
And okay.
That's generally it, if you're within your budget.
Oh, I see. So as long as it's within the budget, then we don't necessarily have to bring it, you know, we don't have to bother you with de minimis items like, you know, getting $25 worth of printing done for that kind of thing.
Not generally, but you should tell Anna.
Right. If it's something that may not require or may not be feasible to purchase in advance, like we're ordering refreshments, somebody has to go to the supermarket and get something, then I assume we can deal with that on a reimbursement basis. Or is there a different procedure
for that?
Yeah,
but I think
that? Okay.
But
talk to Anna.
Again, I would say call ahead and say, okay, we're going to have something. We're going to go out and get refreshments.
Okay. And give Anna a heads up on that? Is that
right.
The person? Got it.
Right. Because she's the one who keeps all of the records, and if the records aren't there and they're not properly.
And she's the one who's going to tell us if we're over budget.
She's the one who's going to scream if you are not within compliance, yes.
Okay. So no, you can't spend $2,600 on lunch.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I said it's under the threshold, and you have to just clear it first with Anna.
Okay. Thank you.
Depends on the lunch. Yes.
This is also
This is also refers to the Environmental Commission, but I'd like to bring up at the Environmental Commission a suggestion that we could clear from Brown Street all the way through to the pool club. And it used to be Brown Street. It used to be open. It used to be clear, as was Spruce Lane down the Brown Street. I think it would make a nice addition to the walking path, especially for seniors, because it's level. It doesn't require climbing up and down hills or crossing muddy areas or streams. But I'm not sure, does that still belong to the borough?
Yes.
Or is it does.
Absolutely.
That was my determination. That was my impression, but I wanted to be sure.
Yes. Well,
thank you.
Toughly fought and won. Yes.
Thank you.
Also, even if it didn't belong to the borough, a lot of the Woodland Trail, two segments of the Woodland Trail, are on state land. So, you know, this Patsy Pink has been cooperative in allowing us to do it. Right, but it is
we are still
borough property.
We are planning on building a concrete plant out there, but we could probably waive it for the trail. Ms. Hook?
April Hook, 9th Mayor Drive. Mine is also sort of environmental based. And Jill, you had mentioned, are there
reasons, or do we know of people walking the paths? I don't know that everyone is necessarily aware of the fact that there are geocaches placed almost the entire length of the path.
Oh.
There's one up where the bench was built by the Boy Scouts starting at the cemetery. There was one placed by one of my Girl Scouts along Lake Drive. There's one out behind the head. And there's one out by where the mushroom, it's called Mushroom Man. It's out by the water plant where the mushrooms grow in a very oddly shaped tree. But the cachers are out there when it gets warmer. So if you see people off the trail digging around in the bushes, that's more than likely what they're doing. But it does bring cachers through looking for hidden boxes of treasure in the woods. So.
Right. Say spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a lot of fun.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you can use them with the maps on them. Yeah. You start used to do with just them. Do we have any more questions or comments from the public? Counselor, do we declare the public comment section closed? Do we have a need for a closed session?
Don't believe so.
Okay. No, we can discuss that a little further along. Okay, do I have a motion?
So moved.
To adjourn? Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
We stand adjourned at 8:22.